All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Yo, what's poppin', man? You know what time it is. Your boy, Mr. J Hill. J Hill Podcast. Today, one of them days, man. You might see me with the same outfit, but I mean, shit, we never know, right? Because this might come out weeks apart, but we grinding. Y'all can, just a little inside of the job, what's going on. This guy to my left, I've been trying to get this guy on forever. He's been playing me like the celebrities, but it's cool. It's all good, man. Funny Salesman is in the building.
Yes, what up, bro?
Yo, what's your real name, man?
My real name, Kenny Brooks.
Kenny Brooks is here, man. Yeah. I ain't want to call you Funny Salesman. Like, this ain't Instagram. Yeah. This is real life.
Yeah, not fair.
How you feeling, brother?
No, I'm great, man.
Yo, Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah.
Woo!
The trenches, man.
The trenches. Yeah. You know what's funny, bro? One thing about those cities... Like Detroit, again, everybody know I'm from Baltimore, but Detroit, Baltimore, Philly, it breeds some hustlers.
No, that's a fact.
If you don't do nothing else, you got to be a hustler for sure.
No, that's a fact.
What's the biggest thing you learned from just your journey of like selling things from door to door, now talking to people up on the street? All of it's a hustle.
Yeah, just not giving up. That's the biggest thing that I learned, because like it was a plenty of times, like even like... when I started doing door-to-door, like, at 12, I remember, like, it was kind of hard at the beginning because they had me, like, reading a speech, and I was, like, lying to customers saying that I was working towards a college education. I knew I wouldn't. I was 12. I was just trying to get some basketball shoes. And then fast forward to, like, when my grandmother died, I turned 19. My mama put me out, and then I started going door-to-door, and I had trials and tribulations because I was trying to figure out my journey, you know what I'm saying? And then I wanted to quit a couple times then, and I didn't. Then I broke the company record. And then fast forward to I went viral 2010, then found out the 2017 lady made like $800K off of me. I ain't make a dollar. I wanted to quit, but I really did quit my sales job. Then I got into social media like 2018. I ain't make no money till like 2023. But right before I started making money, I was about to quit. You feel me? And I just started making money like 2023. I made like my first million off of social media like last year.
So. Well, congratulations. Goddamn.
Yeah. So that's how that went. So yeah, just quitting, man. It taught me a lot. Like you never know what you could, you know what I mean? So.
Nah, facts. Let's go back to the beginning real quick, bro. So when you first started doing door-to-door sales, you was 12 years old.
Yeah.
Right? What happened from 12 to 19? Like, was 12, you just,
well,
you stop?
I did it for like to 12 to 14. Mm-hmm. And then I got like a growth spurt. I went from like, because that's how I got into door-to-door sales. I had a growth spurt at like 12. I went from like 4'9" to like 5'6". So I was like hanging out the bed. I thought my mama bought me a brand new bed, but I just had a growth spurt. You feel me? And then from there, I started doing door to door because I was stealing. Like when I was bad, you know how we a product of our environment, and we like, you know what I'm saying? I was hitting licks, and we call it hitting licks, but I really was like stealing because I was stealing from my grandma, my mama.
From your mom's the lick.
Like, yeah, I was like hitting licks on them. You feel me? Like, you know what I'm saying? It was crazy.
You were savage, bro.
So yeah, I was just corruptive, and like in Detroit, like you a product of your environment. You think only how you can make it if you like an athlete or you know, you a rapper. Or it's selling drugs, like the negative, the peer pressure stuff, you feel me? So I was like, I ain't want to get into that. So I was stealing. I was like hitting licks and, you know what I'm saying, breaking into malls, like taking outfits and selling it to drug dealers, you know what I'm saying? Like that's how, like that was like my little hustle. But after that.
Oh, you was a neighborhood booster.
Yeah, I was doing that for a little while. Then I got into like shoveling snow, raking leaves, pumping gas. And then I got into door to door. My friend, like, he taught me how to play basketball. He was like, bro, it's just Detroit News and Free Press you can make. You know what I'm saying? So I started doing that at, like, 12.
Wait, was that newspaper?
Yeah, I was selling newspapers door-to-door in, like, Michigan. I wasn't working Detroit. I was working, like, the suburb.
How much was the newspaper had to be, like, 25 cents back then?
No, back in the day, it was
like a dollar or something.
It was like a dollar. But we were signing people up for years, like a year subscription, you know what I'm saying?
Oh.
So you could do like weekly. So what we used to do, though, we used to have a hustle with that, too, because we knew that the dude that was dropping us off, he made money whether we sold or not. You feel me? Right. So we would write up fake sales. We would make up like a bill you later. Like if you get a bill you later, you get a dollar for that. Mm. So we'll just write Albert Einstein, put this address on there and bill him later. And like we'll do like 15, 20, then we get like $20, $30 a day just off fake, you know what I'm saying? And then we had the real people that we was actually selling. Like we sell them, we get like $5 if they do like a week. You get like $10 if they do a month. But the year you wanted to get, because you get like $50. But you was getting that every, you know what I'm saying, every sale. And that's when I found out, like, besides actors and entertainers, the highest paid people in the world was salespeople. Because I remember I was making like $500 a week at 12 years old. You feel me? Mm-hmm. Just off of that little hustle. And I remember telling myself that I'd never punch a clock unless I swung on Flavor Flav. Because I was tasting the money, and I wasn't selling drugs or doing negative things. You feel me? Mm-hmm. I ain't had to steal no more. I'm buying Jordans now. I'm buying Anichi, you know what I'm saying? Pelly Pell, stuff like that. You feel me? Yeah. That I used to have to go in to Mars and take, you know what I mean? So
wait, I'm curious that why didn't... What kept you doing door-to-door and not wanting to do another sales type of job? Because sales is a big market.
Yeah, but I didn't know no other sales. You feel me? Mm-hmm. When I was in Detroit, that's one thing that I learned. Like, even when I did the cleaner door-to-door, like, I was so locked in with that, I didn't think... Because, like, one thing I learned when you in Rome, do as a Rome, is I was so locked in that you couldn't recruit me to do nothing. I had people trying to recruit me to sell cars, sell life insurance, sell real estate, but I was so locked in with this company out because this company taught me how to make my first $5,000 in a week. You feel me?
Yeah.
Like, in Detroit, I only knew drug dealers that was making money, or rap, you know what I'm saying? I'm making I turned a $20 bottle that I was selling to making $5,000. I bought my first car, bought my first car, you know what I mean? So yeah. I was like,
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, I was loyal to the company, you feel me? So I wasn't about to go nowhere else because the grass, they always say the grass greener somewhere else, but I'm looking at like if it was greener, I would have went to them first before this company, you know what I mean?
No, facts. So wait, at 12, you was doing a newspaper?
Yeah, I did that to like 12 to 14. Then I got a growth spurt. I went from like 5'6 to like 6'1. Then I started taking basketball serious, you feel me? Then I got to about 6'4", and then my grandmother died. Then that's when I dropped out of high school my senior year, and I worked for Burger King like 30 minutes, and then my mom ended up putting me out because she was like, you got to get a job.
But you was at Burger King.
Yeah, but I just did it just so I wouldn't get put out because I had that mindset that, I ain't going to punch a clock unless the Flavor Flav story. So
damn, wait. So your grandmother passed.
Yeah, my grandmother passed like my senior year in high school. I was like 17 going on 18. She passed when school started. It was around it was basketball season. So it had to be like around like December or January. And then...
And you just dropped out.
Yeah, because my mom wanted me to finish school, but she ended up putting me out around, summertime, right when I ain't finished school.
But before that, though, when your grandmother passed, you just drop out or you just start acting out?
No, I just started missing school, you feel me? You know how I'd be, days was going, I missed school, I was depressed, I wasn't going, you know what I mean? Then I wasn't doing the door-to-door, and then after that, she, gave me breaks. She kept talking to me, I know he going through it, because I'm going through it, it's her mom, you feel me? And I was, my grandma favor, and she was, she was like the backbone to the family. She the one that really installed confidence and told me that I was this great person that nobody in my family believed that I was. She was like, I'm telling you, special. You got something that the world gonna, you know what I'm saying? She was like, so you got to have that nowadays. You don't got really people that really big you up and really build the confidence. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I'm installing in my kids now. Mm. You feel me? Because I ain't had that growing up. My grandma was the only person that believed in me. When I ain't believing myself, my mama said, you gonna be in jail, you gonna be dead, you ain't gonna make it past 21, you know what I'm saying? And then my mom didn't even like sales. I remember when I first was doing door-to-door, and I was like, mom, I'm about to do this door-to-door job. She's like, no, you ain't. Somebody gonna kidnap you and snatch you in their house. Then she saw that first paycheck, she's like, keep doing it. Now you can pay the light bill, you can pay the sales, you know what I'm saying? So my mom didn't believe in sales, and now she a salesperson, you feel me? Mm. But this came from my grandmother. That was my why, you feel me? So it was it was crazy. So when she left, a part of me left, I just got depressed. I ain't had that friend no more, you feel me? So I just was going through it, you know?
So you're missing school. So, and then you get kicked out, and then you I need a job.
Yeah, so I'm not doing living house to house, and that's one thing. You can't really live with family because, you eating their food and you breathing. If you breathe the wrong way, they gonna, So I was living house to house for probably a couple weeks. And then my older brother, he was like, bro, remember that job you was doing door-to-door the newspaper when you was 12? You was making $500. He was look, my friend, he make $1,000 a week. You probably go crush it. So I was scared to travel because when I was doing door-to-door in Detroit, it was in Detroit. I ain't about to go. They was they go to California, Chicago, New York. They go to state to state. And I'm like, bro, I ain't about to, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then he was like, I'm going to go with you. And he talked me into going. And I remember my first week, I made $1,000 in 3 days. You feel me?
Damn.
So I kept doing it. I went from doing it a week, a month, to a year, to 2 years, to 5 years, to 10 years. I was like, you know what I'm saying? I just kept doing it.
Wait, so at 12, right, were you, you wasn't popular or anything?
Nah.
Because the only thing I asked that because, like, I know, like, I did door-to-door too, right? Like, yeah. I did, like, roof sales. I didn't have every job in this plan, if you think about it, to be honest, right?
Right, right.
But one thing about it is, once you start to get some clout, yeah. That's when you. That's when the second thoughts come in. Like, man, I don't want these people gonna know me. You know what I'm saying?
I wasn't hell. No, I wasn't viral at 12. Like, I ain't get viral till I was about 23, 24, probably 25.
Okay. Yeah. Nah, because even then, like, I played football, so like we didn't go door to door, but we used to be on the street selling doing
the fundraiser.
Fundraisers. Yeah, yep. Yeah, yeah. We used to wash people's cars or like wash people's windows or like ask for money and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't even want to do that, to be honest, because like, bro, like. At 12, I think I had a little name. So I wasn't like who I am now, but still, like, I'm in Baltimore. Like, man,
right.
See me on the corner.
No, because Baltimore, they got, like, the water boys. And they got the people that wash your windows and
stuff.
Yeah,
but this is before that. See, the water boys is something.
Yeah, because they in Atlanta now, too. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
water boys is, like, last 6-7 years.
Right.
Like, when we was coming up, we used to pump gas.
Yeah.
So, like, that's how I got my first visor for football. Yeah. I used to go to the gas station and ask, could I pump your gas? And people give me a dollar and shit like that. But. Nah, man, that shit crazy. So at 12, what made you good at 12? Before we even get to 17, 18.
Yeah, so that's a great question. So that, remember I was telling you when I first did it, I wanted to quit because they gave me this speech. And I'm like, man, I ain't Martin Luther King. I ain't got no speech for them. You know what I'm saying? And then I looked at, it was lying to these people. I'm telling them I'm working towards a college education. Now, like I told you, my mom couldn't afford me no basketball shoes. That's the only reason why I signed up for that door-to-door job. So my little short-term goal was I'm going to work this 1 week, get the little $50, go buy me some shoes. You feel me? But it ain't work out because once I got the door-to-door job while I was making $300-$500 a week, I kept doing it. You feel me? But how I got good is because I didn't go off of what they wanted me to do. The company gave us a speech that we had to read and lie to the customers. When I had a gut feeling like this ain't going to work, I'm going to just make people laugh or crack jokes, and that's how I was. And then when I grew up, I'm like, I was born in the 80s, so I grew up listening to like Nas, Lil Wayne, Jay-Z, Eminem, you know what I'm saying? So how they was putting words together and metaphors, I took that and put that into rhyming with the, you know, like with my jokes. That was like my inspiration, you feel me? Like all the way to like, even now, like the Jadakiss, the Fabulous, to, you know what I'm saying, the Meek Mills, Rick Ross, like everybody that, they got like metaphors. I'm like a fan because that's how my, like when I, if you see you, like everybody be like, man, you should rap when I do like my little videos because that was my inspiration. Like anybody that got punchlines, I'm like, oh yeah, that's Lloyd Banks to, you know what I'm saying?
So you was always like witty from the beginning.
Because I was witty just because of off of what I put, because like that's even like this generation nowadays, like whatever you, like when I was growing up, like I was so locked in with like Lil Wayne. I wanted to be Lil Wayne. You feel me?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I had a lot of kids. I got 10 kids. They like eating. I love feeding them because he inspired me to have a lot of kids. You know what I'm saying? Like this nigga got 10 kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's like, he was like, that was like my idol. Like, I'm like this dude. Cause like, he was like one of a kind. Nobody wasn't saying what he was saying. You know what I mean? And it's like my kids, like I got kids that deal with mental health now because they favorite rappers Juice WRLD or NBA YoungBoy, and they be preaching about I don't love myself, I hate my, you know what I'm saying? So it's like they want to be them so bad that they want to feel like them. You feel what I'm trying to say? So it's like it was different, but I was so locked in with them that I started freestyling and writing down jokes. You feel me? And I say stuff that like people would be like, man, that, because certain. Like, I have people, even celebrities, when I did skits like Timberland, when I first met Timberland, he's like, bro, I watched your video like 8 times before I got this punchline. I didn't even know you said that. You get what I'm saying? And I remember me listening to a Jay-Z bar or a Lil Wayne song, I'd be like, damn, I didn't even know he said that. And I done heard this song 15 times. You get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So it's like, that's how locked in I was because what I was putting in my system. You feel what I mean? And I was just putting it out in the world, and I was like different, you know?
At 12 years old, do you remember your first sale that went well, that was good?
Yeah, my first. I remember like
you remember your line?
Yeah, so that's what's crazy. Before I became a salesperson, they hired me as a paper route dude. So the paper route dude was basically like, we was only gonna make $50 a week, you feel me? We was working off a salary. That's why I said I never punch a clock, because you could work 8 days a week, you could be working 24 hours, and you still getting $50 at the end of the week. You could deliver 1,000 papers.
Yep.
At the end of the week, I was getting $50. So anyway, one of my friends was pushing the wagon, and I'm throwing a paper at the addresses, and we threw the paper at this wrong address. This is my first day out, like T-Grizzly, straight up, like, you know what I mean? And we throw the paper at the wrong dude's house, and it's like a white dude. So we work in a predominantly white area because we from the hood. We from Detroit, but we ain't working Detroit because they'll rob you, whatever. So we was going out to the suburbs, like the middle class rich people would, you know what I'm saying? They got money. So we threw the paper to the dude address. He come outside before we even get to the next door. He start cussing us out. Motherfucker, get off my property. I'm next time you throw... The next person come to my door from this company, y'all scams, y'all. I canceled this subscription like a year ago. You see all these papers I got? He just snapping on us. So me and my coworker looking at him, and the first thing, see your perceptions are reality, because we looking like if he was black, we probably wouldn't have had his mindset. But by us being black and he white, we like, this dude racist. You know what I'm saying? If we is white, I bet you wouldn't talk to us like that. So my friend was ready to fight him. I'm like, man, I got this. Because I'm looking at like, you a little kid. He going to beat us up. You feel me? Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to just kill him with... attacking diplomacy. Watch this. I said, sir, can I ask you a question? He was like, what? I said, you got kids? He was like, yeah. I said, if two of your kids was playing and one broke the glass, you ain't gonna spank both of them, right? Yeah. I'm 12 years old. I swear to God, because I was using this shit on my mom. Excuse my French, Montana. But anyway, I was like, if two of your kids was playing, one broke the glass, you ain't gonna spank both of them, right? He was like, no. I was like, well, you shouldn't spank us for the bad performance. Let me just call my stupid visor and see if we can upgrade you like Beyonce. And I swear to God, off me calling my company a stupid, and he started laughing off that, we end up upgrading him, and he got like another year subscription. So I end up making, so I was going to make $50 that week. I end up making like $55 off that one sale. You get what I'm saying? Because they changed me from a paper route being on a salary to a salesman. They was like, oh, this dude know how to talk. You feel me? And then at 12 years old, I was reading like Think and Grow Rich. I was reading books and stuff. You feel me? So I was already locked in mentally. You know what I'm saying? I was stronger than the Holy Ghost mentally. So I was already prepared for whatever that was coming with me, you know what I'm saying?
Damn, so.
Being from Detroit, like, if you can make it, like, you know what I'm saying? I already had the confidence. And that's why I tell people, like, I got my kids going door to door. Like, because it teach you something that you, like, I learned so much stuff knocking on doors that I never even learned in school. Like, you learn financial literacy. You learn how to love yourself. It's so much stuff you learn that they don't teach you in school. Mm. Teach you about credit, all type of stuff, because you're dealing with the smartest people in the world. I'm knocking on billionaire doors, rich people that has something to do with NASA, or, you know what I'm saying, has something to do with technology. You know what I mean? You go to school, they ain't teaching you that. They teach you how to be in debt, how to work for people, how to, you know what I mean? You know how it is. Mm-hmm. Like, so, yeah.
But so what I will say is, like, you can have confidence and still get nervous when you don't have the experience.
Yeah, but that's why experience is the best teacher. That's why you got to just do it. Because you got, you know what I'm saying, a pair of lips to say anything. And that's why one of my favorite sayings is that I stop listening to people say and watch what they do. Because, like, I ain't going to never tell nobody to do something that I never did, especially when it comes to my kids. You feel me? I show my kids first. Like, I got this saying when I take my kids to doors before I train them, or anybody when I go out, because people pay me, like, hundreds, like, they pay me, like thousands of dollars to go train and teach people how to sell. And I always tell people when I go out in the field with them before I knock on the door, I said, if I laugh, you laugh. If I high-five this customer, you high-five this customer. If I slap this customer, you slap me, because this ain't supposed to happen. Because I'm going to teach you the three L's, to look, listen, and learn. And once I show you how easy it is, it's like you're getting trained by LeBron James in basketball. You feel me? He's showing you how easy it is. You're going to have confidence and be like, oh, I could do it too. You know what I mean? Like when Barack Obama first became the first black president, everybody felt like, now I could be a president too. You feel me? Mm-hmm. Like when you heard that first song, you're like, oh, I can rap. I could rap. You know, it's the same thing. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's all about me. I show and tell, because somebody showed me how to do it. But they brought the best out of me because of the simple fact I had people like my grandmother around me that was telling me I'm great every day. You know what I'm saying? Mm. That's how I'm doing this with my son right now. I got a son, he just turned 18. He didn't believe he could score 55 points in high school because I got that out of him. You know what I'm saying? Mm. I'm like, bro, you great. You could be better than LeBron James. You could be better than, because how many people LeBron James' mama or coach was telling him he could be better than Michael Jordan? You know what I'm saying? We don't got that too much of that right now. We got too much hating going on black shit. You know what I'm saying? No, if we stick together like butt cheeks, no diddy though, but you know what I'm saying? It'd be way more better. Our culture is one of a kind, bro. Everybody want to be us, you know what I'm saying? But the thing is that we don't want to be us, you know what I'm saying?
That's a fact.
Yeah,
A fact. But wait, I'm trying to figure out the confidence part, right? Because like going into new neighborhoods, people that don't look like you, people that you're not used to seeing, right? You still had to...
Yeah, because you got stinking thinking. See, I'm saying the best thing for people to do before they even knock on doors is start reading books. I was reading like The Magic of Thinking Big, Think and Grow Rich. Man, I got my kids reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and How to Win Friends and Fools People. So they reading this stuff And then it'll do something to their confidence off the rip. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, thanks.
It's like you ain't ever read nothing, start getting chills in your body. No, like, you're right. And you just be one with the book. You feel me? So now you could take over a nation. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I was doing. I was reading stuff. And it's easy to do it as a little kid, because when you a little kid, you got this imagination. I remember when I was a little kid, I used to tell my mom, I can jump on an airplane. While I was already in the sky. How the fuck I'ma jump on an airplane while it's in the sky?
No, you're 100% right.
So it's like when you a little kid, you got this. When we grown and we start getting comfortable with failure, it's like we start doubting ourselves. You know what I'm saying? But when you got that imagination as a little kid, you start, man, you know how kids is. They be saying they could be what they want. Remember Jay-Z even said it. When I was kids, I used to point at that car like, that's my car. Mm-hmm. My kids do it right now. They see a Lamborghini or something. That's mine. You know what I'm saying? Like, when we grown, we hating on a motherfucker that got that. You feel me? Like, oh, this, you know what I mean?
No, you're right. I remember
so
when
it's all about the, like, you got to lock in early.
No, I mean, when I was coming up, I used to be like, I used to say crazy shit like, man, my first house going to be in the projects. Like, I'm going to buy a house in the projects. Like, what? Like, that don't even make sense.
It's the imagination, though. Yeah. You feel me?
Or not. But that's what I'm saying, like, because I didn't, but again, sometimes we're a slave to our environment, though, right? So you learned to read a book. That got you out your environment. They said if you want to travel around the world, you don't have no money, read a book.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming your grandmother got you into that?
No, the salespeople got me into that. So when I got into sales early.
Okay.
You feel what I'm saying?
So when you started selling, then you were like, I need to read books.
Yeah, they was like, you need to read, because I'm a product of my environment. I'm thinking negative shit. You know what I'm saying? I ain't keeping a PMA, a positive mental attitude. Mm. So when I got advanced, when I got into sales 17, 18, 19, I was already ready for the world because I learned this shit early. You feel me?
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's like when you young, like my kids don't want for nothing, bro, but they go out making $1,500 a week. And they want to do the shit. Like, if I take their phones from them, they don't get mad. If I take their video game, they don't get mad. But I'll be like, hey, you ain't going knocking on no doors and making no money. They start crying. Mm. I got different type of animals, you know what I'm saying, in my household.
Wait, you made your first $1 million last year,
because Timberland became my manager in October 2022. From October 2022 to, like, October 2023, I made $1 million with him. Like, because he started booking. He was helping me get booked. I'm going to speak. I made probably like $400K just on speaking gigs. Mm. Like, so I was traveling companies paying me $50K, $30K. Like Eric Thomas and them do. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking at like companies. You feel me? Then I'm making money off social media. I got like, I own percentage of Pink Miracle. So I'm like part owner. So I go do a video. So my motto right now is I went from knocking on people's doors to people knocking on my door. You know what I'm saying? Because I can go do a video and I can make money in my sleep, because TikTok got, you know, TikTok, the creator fund, the shop where you can put your product on there and they'll buy your product off it just watching the video. You feel me?
Yeah.
Like, I remember one time I woke up to a video, had like 7 million views. I made like $20K in one day.
Damn.
Off of just views. Like, it wasn't even the views. It was off the product that got sold. And then YouTube got it now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where you could, like, it's like the e-commerce of social media.
No, facts. You know, it's crazy. It's different because, like, usually people that come from where we come from, we do everything so our children don't have to go through what we went through, right?
Right.
Or they don't have to do what we had to do to get to where we at. Right. And it's funny, it's like you is the opposite. Like, now you making so much money, your kids probably don't have to do door-to-door sales, but now you want.
No, but they, it ain't, see, this the thing, I live through my kids. Like, one thing about me, bro, I wanted to go to the NBA so bad, because I had an uncle that went to the NBA. And when he went to the NBA, he moved to Australia, married an Australian, and he left, like, he didn't even, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've seen him like two times in my life, probably like when he came for like a mini family reunion, and then he came when my grandma died, which is his mom. Because, like, it's like they say when you get money, people change.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, you change. You know, the people around really you change. Because I see how my family is now. Like, my brother, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know what I mean? My grandmother told me this on her deathbed, and my mentor told me this too. Like, the person that got me into door-to-door sales, he said, it ain't your fault if you was born poor, but if you over the age of 18 and you die poor, that's your fault because you had something to do with that. So, like, that's why every day above water, like, it's people on earth right now that, like one thing I learned from Zig Ziglar, he said, as soon as a person get a job, they quit looking for work. So a lot of people looking for excuses while other people looking for opportunity. You know what I'm saying? Like Thomas Edison said, if you think you can, you're right. If you think you can't, you still right, because them your thoughts. So what I try to do is I try to make sure that I try to inspire. I'm going to make people laugh, of course, off my videos, but people don't know that what it took for me to get this far. You know what I'm saying? But the key thing, like I told you, it was not quitting. Like, my whole thing, this whole journey, I've been doing this, like, bro, I've been doing door-to-door sales since I was 12 years old, and I'm 40. So I got, like, 28 years of doing this. This, I was born to do this. You feel what I'm saying? But the thing is like, I wanted to go to the NBA. That was my passion. Before sales, my number one thing was NBA basketball. You feel me? And when my grandmother died, like, I ain't even want to play basketball no more. How I got back into sales is because, like, I enjoyed it. That was my happiness. You know what I'm saying? Because my grandmother, she the one got me to knock on doors when I wasn't playing basketball. You feel me? Mm. Like, I'm stealing from her. I remember one day I stole from her, and I got everybody in the house ass whooped. Because I was lying, like, I ain't still. She even took up for me, like, oh, my grandson ain't still nothing. I'm looking like, yes, I did. Like, you know what I'm saying? Everybody. So, and I felt bad when I was like, bro, I can't do this. You know what I'm saying? And she told me, like, on her deathbed, I swear to God, like, she was, that saying that I just told you. So, like, my kids, I got all my kids playing basketball because I'm trying to get my lick back. I'm like, I ain't go to the league. One of my kids going to make it. I'm looking at, like, if LeVar Ball had 2.5 go to the NBA, I can get 5 of them out of 10.
But your kids, you know, looking at you like, I want to do that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because that was my lick. But that's what my point is, that I'm not living my dream through my kids no more. I want them to live their own dream. Like, a lot of my kids love basketball, but most of my kids love sales. Like, right now as we speak, we're working on a TV show. We already had people come out from, like, Netflix to come shoot a sizzle and everything, because we starting, like, a whole reality show, like, because all my kids go door to door. I got a 19-year-old to a 2-year-old. Even a 2-year-old about to start going on her big wheel. She the only one that ain't went door to door yet, but all my other kids go door to door.
Yo, ain't it crazy how, like, because I'm assuming that you've been through this, right? Like, you enjoy something, but people don't understand it because it's new, yeah, right? Like, so coming up, again, door-to-door was something that
we have a conversation and we can relate. But if we had this with a 9-to-5 or a person that never did it, it'd go over their head like a fitted cap. They'd be like, what the hell are they talking about? They won't even know the lingo we talking about. Yeah. You feel me?
But even, like, peers, though, right? Like, not even 9-to-5 people. Let's say peers. Because I'm listening to you and you like, man, I enjoyed this, right? This is something that I enjoyed. I went back to door-to-door because I love to do this. Whereas, though, you might tell your friends and they, like, making fun of you. Like,
no, they was. Like, huh? I swear to God. That's what they're doing. Like, this dude go door-to-door. I'm talking about, bro, that's what I'm saying. Like, right now, like, even if you have a 9-to-5, like, the door-to-door back in the day, they was, like, calling me corny. You a clown. Nigga, you knocking on people's door. You cleaning shoes. Like, they was saying crazy stuff. And I'm looking at, like, okay. But if we look at my bank account, look at yours, you're going to probably want to do the same thing I'm doing. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, facts.
But the thing is, now, like, I remember back in the day, people wanted to do anything to get some money. They wanted to work, get a 9-to-5. I remember my mama had 2-3 jobs. You feel me? Now, you corny if you work a 9-to-5. This is how social media then put out in the world, like, in the universe, to, like, they don't even want you to work. You feel me?
That's a fact.
So it's like, it's different. No, that's a fact. I swear to God, people was clowning me. Like, but I didn't listen to people. I ain't listen to nobody, because at the end of the day, I was my biggest fan, because I learned that. I learned self-confidence. I learned self-esteem. I had high expectations, all of that as a young age. That's why I say, when you do it younger, you build that confidence younger. But if you start doing it grown, like 19, 20, 25, 30, then you're going to get, like, discouraged. You're going to get sensitive. You're going to get emotional because you already grown.
Yep.
And you listening to that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I even got kids like that. My son, like, he's Funny Salesman Jr. He got my whole name. And I got my younger kids outdoing him, you know what I'm saying? Because he started doing door-to-door sales when he was like 6 or 7, but then he got back to his mom. His mom was like, no, you got to do, you know what I'm saying? Got him out of that. So it's like, the ones that I got under the roof with me now, it's like, if I tell them a mosquito can pull a truck, they ain't gonna question the orders. They just gonna hook it up. They know damn well a mosquito can't pull a truck, but they gonna listen because they already know that, oh, my daddy right. Even if he wrong, he right, because I see what he doing and he showing us better than he could tell us. Now I got my son, his friends, because he 18 now, so his friends like, oh, you going door to door? Oh, that's weak, man. You better go get this girl, man. You know who you is. You know your dad. So he like using my fame and this to go mess with a girl or go, you know what I'm saying, hang out with his homeboys, go smoke weed. And I'm like, bro, you a star. Why are you doing this? None of them, if you go to jail right now, none of them ain't going to be able to get you out. If you get this girl pregnant right now, you can't even take care of yourself. How you going to get? But you can go to the league, though. God bless. Now you have 55 points. Look at your IQ. Like, this is a gift. Everybody don't just wake up and score 55 points. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I'm planting this seed in him. But as long as I keep on, like, planting that seed in him and I keep him away from that, he'll be all right. But it's like, I don't have to do that with my little kids. You get what I'm saying? Because they looking at me like I'm their hero. He looking at me like, no, I'm getting older now. Like, I ain't that little kid no more. You get what I'm saying? So
now, kids are super impressionable. I feel like with the oldest one, and it's something that I've been talking about a lot, I feel like being a parent, the hardest thing for me being a parent is understanding and accepting that my kid is going to have to go through their own thing. They're going to have to learn their own lessons.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, as a parent, as an adult, it's like, I did all this for you. I don't want you to have to. I know that you're a star. I know you don't need to mess with these women. I know I know that you don't have to put your hand on a stove to know that it's hot. Yeah. So to say, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
However, also being an adult is understanding that, or being a parent is understanding that they might just have to touch the stove just for them to experience it themselves.
Yeah. No, that's a fact.
It's nothing I can do to...
No, you 100% right, because that's what I told all my kids. Like, my kids, they was getting cars at 14, 15 years old. We had to steal cars. I didn't get my first car till I was like 24, 25. You feel me? Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm like, y'all spoiled. And it's like, the more you spoil the kids, the more lazier they get. And it's like, they ain't got to work for nothing. I'm like, nigga, I had to steal. I had to hit licks. I was getting guns pulled out on me, getting locked in gas stations with axes and knives, by getting kidnapped by Indians. Like, you don't even know, like knocking on doors. We got stories. Like, Like, before I went viral, I got kidnapped by Indians at gunpoint. Mm. Then knocked on Jamie Foxx's door. Then sold his neighbor that was racist, that thought I was trying to break in her house. Then she recorded me. So they don't understand this. I'm like, bro, I went through a lot to get where I'm at today. Mm-hmm. Y'all think this is just easy? You know what I'm saying? I show you somebody successful, I show you that they got a success story.
Mm-hmm.
No, you know what I'm saying? This shit ain't just come overnight. Like, I ain't just wake up and was funny salesman. You feel me?
Mm. You think people look at you and think that, though? Because I know that
that's what they do. Even how people ask me for stuff.
Mm.
Like, nowadays, people, like, they think money grow on trees. Like, they just supposed to, like, just bump into you and you supposed to just give them stuff.
Because
they know you. You know what I'm saying?
You know what
And else? Then the thing is that if you, like I get, every time somebody asks me something in my family, I give it to them. Like, I didn't give them stuff. But as soon as you get them that one no, they'll try to throw you under the bus. Used to stay with me. We was sleeping on the floor with roaches. And we was, you know what I'm saying? I'm looking at it like, damn, we ain't doing that right now, though.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
Like, this one time I get to say no, I'm all of this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you feel me?
You can get somebody something 100 times, and one time you say no, you're worth it.
I swear to God. That's
crazy. You know what else that I'm not a fan of? I'm not going to say I don't like, is, I don't know if you go through this, because like, you post your stuff on Instagram and things like that. Like, your friends that hit you and be like, yo, do a video with me. Like, you don't got nothing going on. It don't make no sense for me to do a video. Like, what the fuck is you talking about? It's like, and with all due respect to my friends, but it'd be like, yo, you should do an interview with me. Like, why? Why, bro? Like, why?
No, I swear to God, you ain't lying. I swear to God. Dog, I got high school friends that hit me up.
Like, yo, let's do a video.
Bro, how I'm going to do a video with you? You only got a job. What kind of video we about to do?
Oh,
like,
man.
I swear to God. Yeah, no, that's a super fact. I swear to God. Bro, I just had that happen to me last week.
Nigga, like, yo, let's do a video. No.
I swear to God. Like, no, that's a fact. And then it's crazy because after that Boosie thing happened, that's how people, they react to me. Then don't do me like Boosie did you. I'm like, what?
Oh, that's gaslighting like a motherfucker. Boy, they're like, yo, don't do me like Boosie.
I swear to God, dog, like, I done heard it all, bro.
That's crazy.
No, I swear to God, it's funny, bro.
Yo, you know, it's funny, man. People always ask me, like, yo, like, you don't ever want to quit? You don't ever want to quit? Like, keep you going? And it's you made me think about this. Like, consistency is really key. I tell all my friends, I tell them this. It's like, yo, when I'm not motivated, I get consistent.
Yeah.
And what happens is I tell them this. I'm curious to see your experience. Like, when I don't feel like doing an interview, when I don't feel like editing, I do more interviews, I do more editing. Because what happened is, when everything is going bad, when I keep going, it's something that happens that gets me remotivated.
No, that's right? A fact.
Like, have you ever been through that? Whereas like, you might not have thought like knocking on doors.
I tell people all the time, like, what you see is not real. What you don't see, that's what's real. Because what you don't see is preparing you for you to, like, just take off, like, to the next level. And that's why I tell people all the time, like, I say, right next door to adversity is success.
Yeah,
right next door to failure is success.
Mm-hmm.
Success is neighbor, is failure neighbor. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, right, I'm talking about, I swear to God on my mama, bro, I'm talking about, like, I was doing super video. I was doing, like, 12 to 15 videos a day. Wasn't making no money. I got 10 kids. I got miles to feed. You feel me? That's why, you know what I'm saying? I love what the Migos say. I'd rather be rich than famous. Because I got all these people asking me to take pictures, this and that. I'm looking at, like, bro, I'm famous. And I, in 2019, I was in debt like 7K. Like, you know what I'm saying? I moved with my mom and my sister sleeping on a floor, bro. You feel me? And I got a video that had almost 1 billion views, bro, and ain't get a dollar. You feel me? That's why I was mad at the lady, because I did try to sue her, because she supposed to break bread like the Last Supper. Like, you just made all this money off me. You ain't even give me a dollar. And in the video, you got a deal. You got a discount. Can I get it for 30? And it was $36. She shorted me and everything.
Wait, so people that don't know, hold up. Let's slow down. Let's rewind, because we talking, because we know the conversation. We know the story. So basically what happened was, you knocked on the lady door. You was trying to sell her something.
Yeah.
And she recorded you. She asked you because you recorded. Well, give us the story for the people that don't know.
No, that's what happened. Like I said, I had knocked on Jamie Foxx's door, and we was working like a predominantly white area. It was a rich area. This was back in 2010. This was like, if you do your research, when Django happened, the movie Django, that's when he was filming Django. He stayed
Django,
in like
nigga,
Tarzan.
Django.
Oh, Django. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Ebonics.
That's the Detroit public schools. You know what I'm saying?
Go ahead.
So yeah. We was working in Tarzana. You feel me? And he stayed in Tarzana at the time. And I ended up selling him. And then I went and knocked on a neighbor door, and she came out with a camcorder, and she was just recording me. But I'm so locked in with sales that I'm trying to sell her. I ain't know I was getting recorded. I just knew. So by that time I got done selling Jamie Foxx, you feel me? She done uploaded it. It's going crazy. The next day I'm writing like 50. I'm going from writing 6, 7, 10 sales, 15 sales a day to writing 60, 70 sales. Mm-hmm. I went from making like $1,500 a week to making like $3,000, $4,000, like $5,000 just off of sales is tripling. You know what I'm saying? Because people are like, oh, I just saw you on YouTube, like going crazy.
But
you
said she had asked you because you recorded.
Yeah, no, but this what happened. So like, when she recorded me, right, I went viral 2010. I didn't find out till 2017. How I found out, because it showed ridiculousness, they reached out to the company, you feel me? And they emailed me. It was like they wanted to pay me $150 to come on their show and talk about how the video went viral. But they ended up paying the lady like $25K for copyrights to the video. So then when I searched up the video, this one I really was locked in. And I found out, I'm like, I see. This is how I knew the video went crazy, because when I searched up the original video had like 600 to 800 million views, not 600,000, not 8 million. This has 600-800 million. This 2017. But when I searched the video, it was like hundreds of the same video. Like you could tell when it's a great video, because everybody trying to monetize off this one video.
Yeah.
I didn't know, you feel me? Except for me. So anyway, to make a long story short, right? So I reached out to the lady the first time, and she was like ignoring me, boom, boom. So then I went and got an entertainment lawyer. So I tried to sue her, and that's when they told me that I couldn't sue her, because they replayed the video. They was like, you see this part right here? They paused it. And she was like, can I put this on YouTube? And I was like, yes, ma'am. She was like, what you selling? I was like, personality. And they stopped it. They was like, remember, see that part? You gave her the consent that you couldn't, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
And then that's how. So this was crazy, right? So after that happened, right, this would really lock me in to quit my sales job and to take social media fully serious, right? Like to make it like my 9 to 5. So when that happened, that was like 2017. So 2018, I quit my sales job. I moved to LA. I'm like homeless and shit. Like I'm going to different open mics. I'm doing stand-up comedy. I'm confused. I'm trying. So I go to 1600 Vine. This was like Vine was popping. Remember Vine back in the day? It had already stopped. But at this time, all influencers were staying at this apartment building on 1600 Vine. Mm-hmm. Like the late Logan Pauls, the Jake Pauls, the King Badges, the, you know what I'm saying, the Hannah Stockton, all of the like the Viners, like the back in the day, they were staying there. Daystorm, all of them, they were staying there. So I'm going to them getting information like, bro, how you monetize Boomer? Because everybody knowing me, they're like, bro, you the OG salesman, bro. We watched you for years, you know what I'm saying? But I'm looking at like, bro, how you monetize? How you make money? They was like, bro, you got to start your YouTube channel. They was like, if I was you, I'd screen record that video, post it on your own thing. They was like, you just start over, do your own thing. So that's when I got on social media. The first thing I uploaded was like Facebook and Instagram, because at the time, Instagram was still doing like pictures. Mm-hmm. They didn't even have like the videos and stuff yet. So then 2019, they started doing the videos. 2020, Musical.ly end up buying TikTok, remember? Yeah. So they changed it to TikTok. I got on TikTok 2020. 2021, I went from no followers 2020 to like the end, like the beginning. Like I got on TikTok like the summertime 2020. By like December, like the end of 2021, I had like 2.6 million followers. So like a year and a half, I generated like my platform, the fastest growing, I'm saying this to anybody out there listening, the fastest growing, if you want to grow your organic followers, is TikTok is the fastest like growing platform, because I grew 2.6 million followers. And when I tell you, I started my Facebook and Instagram in 2018 and I had like 80K for 2 years. Mm. When I generated them 2.6 million, all of my followers from TikTok went to Instagram. So I went from like 80K in 2 years to 600, 700K on Instagram.
Damn.
So they all follow me from there. You get what I'm trying to say? And then the next year, Timberland reached out. He was like, bro, you a genius. I don't know what it is. I just want to work with you. Boom. Then he reached out to me like January 2022. Because like the end of 2021, I had 2.6 million. Every video I'm posting going viral. I'm posting 10 to 15 videos a day. Like I said, I'm still not making no money. Timberland reached out to me. I drove from, I came here first, then I drove from Detroit like 22 hours, went to Timberland House. We did like 8 videos. We did collabs. We posted it. Like the end of 2022, he's like, bro, who managing you? I was like, nobody. He started managing me. Then after that, you start seeing me do videos with all the celebrities, Wiz Khalifa, you know, Waka Flocka to Cam Newton to all of this was because of Timberland, Damian Lillard. Everybody started reaching out to me and like my life just changed overnight off that. You feel me?
Damn.
That's how it happened. Because he was the first celebrity I did a video with. And after that, I done did Lil Pump, Rowdy Rich, Rich Homie Quan, rest in peace. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, they start reaching out because of Timberland. You feel me?
Yeah.
And then that's when these big companies start reaching out for brand deals, podcast people to, you know, like it was crazy.
Now, you said, like we joked about how people say don't do me like Boosie did you. Well, I guess for the people that don't know, exactly. Can you explain what happened with you and Boosie?
Yeah, so like I said, I'm already going viral. I'm doing different celebrities, you feel me? I already did Timberland. I done did Damian Lillard. I'm going crazy. So all of my videos that I did with different celebrities, they actually either approached me or their manager approached me or I approached them and they was like, yeah, let's do a video. This particular time, Boosie had a movie that was premiering with my boy. Shout out to Million Dollar Key. They was doing a video together. He from like out here.
I know, yeah,
that's my dude. But he hit me up. He was like, bro, I'm doing a movie premiere. I want you to be
Million Dollar Key from Baltimore, I think.
Yeah, he probably is, but he was out here at the time.
Yeah,
my bad.
You know, he is.
Yeah, you're right. So anyway, him and Boosie had a movie with like Rich Homie Quan. Yep. They had a movie premiere, you feel me, out here. So I drove out here to come to it. And then my boy ATM, that's Boosie manager, you know what I'm saying? He was like, bro. He's like, Boosie having a birthday party after the movie premiere. I want you to pull up. He's like, don't say nothing. We're going to set it up to, we're going to have you do a skit. You're just going to knock on the door. We want it organic. We don't even want you to tell him. You feel me? Because we want to see how his face going to look. But anyway, ATM never came. You feel me?
Oh,
so I'm calling him though. And he thinking like it's set up. So anyway, I'm trying to figure out because I'm seeing Boosie. He like occupied because it's his party. He hosting it. He partying, having a good time. So there's one particular time I caught him and I'm like, bro, I'm about to just ask him. He was like, no, I just knocked on the door. So I knocked on the door and then I walked right in and tried to sell him and he wasn't having it. He was like, what? No, you got to pay me. You know what I'm saying? And they people seen a clip. And then after that, man.
It's crazy because like as unfortunate as it is, I understand because people like, and no disrespect, but people like Boosie, who's not still making like music or going on tours and things like that, a lot of his money come from
promos and interviews and shit like that.
So I understand, right? Like,
man,
you probably don't want to hear that
even more. No, I'm a businessman. I've been like this since 12 years old. So I didn't even get mad. What I did is that I got motivated. I got more hungry. I said, now I got to really turn all the way up because the next time he see me, he going to want to do a video. Because I'm pretty sure I seen him do a video with Desi Banks, DC Young Fly. I'm like, I've been viral before them, but they've been way more consistent than me. Mm. He ain't pay. You know, he ain't say, you got to pay me to do it. That just motivated me to keep going.
Oh, wow.
Bro, you got to understand. I remember I went on Drewski. I'm going to tell you a little story about Drewski, and I mess with Drewski. I went on Could Have Been Record thing like my boy Jack Funny, and I went on there, and he turned me down, and he was acting like he ain't know who I was or nothing. Then I just seen him at the BET where he's like, bro, you going crazy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, bro, I was just on Could Have Been Record. He's like, you was? So people look over you because you ain't really. But when I start doing 15, 20 videos a week, and I'm in everybody's face, now they like, you feel me? You get what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
Cause that's like even a Lil Baby situation, bro. I met Lil Baby like 2 times before. He's like, bro, I'm a fan of you. And I'm looking at like, bro, I remember one time, like I was in the store. I pulled out my phone and one of his boys like tried to smack the phone on my hand. They thought I was trying to record him. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then like, it was just like, we was in LA though. You feel me? And I like, you know what I'm saying? And he ain't even know I was a dude that, like, clean, you know what I'm saying? It's just that, like, people don't really know.
You don't never take, like, none of it personal? Because I've been like, bro. We still human. We got feelings.
You know why? Because I got tough skin. I'm from Detroit, Michigan, and I know how to fake it till I make it. And at the end of the day, I done knocked on racist people's door where they was like, get off my porch, nigger. I said, where that nigga at? He owe me $5. And they bust out laughing and bought my product. So I already know when I'm in Rome, do as a Roman. It's like, just because a person nasty or they overlook me, I'm not going to overlook nobody. You know what I mean? That's why I get my blessings, because I don't shit on the small people. You feel me? Because nobody's smarter than me. You know what I'm saying? We all got 24 hours in our day. We all put our pants on the same way. Just like Wallow said, he said, as soon as you get up and you wake up and God bless you to see another day, you got another opportunity to chase your dream. So why would I try to shit on somebody else for trying to chase their dream when we all on this earth for one purpose, and that's to be great? You get what I'm saying? Mm. But a lot of people, they don't understand that.
No, facts. But from that situation, you said Rich Homie Quan saw it.
Yeah.
He saw, like, I guess. You posted that video.
I'm gonna be honest. After that Boosie incident, that's why I really messed with Rich Homie, because I swear to God, he was the first person that reached out to
me. Wait, so before we get to Rich Homie, so did you still post a video?
Yeah, the nigga, his manager, ATM, like, I swear to God, because I DM'd him. First, I sent him the video. I was like, it ain't go too well, because he wasn't there. Remember I told you? Yeah. He was like, because he's like from, like, Dallas. He's somewhere in Texas. He was like, dang, man, I ain't gonna be able to make it. He was like, but still try to get the video. I was like, all right, bet. But he was like a super fan. He was like, bro, I've been watching you. You a hustler. He was like, Boosie gonna respect you too, because he a hustler too. Because, like, even like when I met Rick Ross, 2 Chainz, a lot of the hustlers, they respect other hustlers. They even tell me, like, bro, you one of a kind, bro. You got your own lane, and that's what I like about you with your content. So I'm thinking, like, he gonna respect the hustle. He gonna, like, you know what I'm saying? But when I sent ATM, his manager, the video, because I was like, bro, it ain't go too well. He said, you gotta post this. This gonna really go. He was like, this all you need.
Yeah.
He was like, and this is manager saying that. You feel me? He wasn't saying it to make me, Boosie, look bad. It's to show, like, nigga, this about to go viral because you never got turned down on your video. This the most organic shit you ever done. Mm. The first video that I ever did that generated the most views of my whole career had almost 1 billion views because it was organic. I didn't wake up one day and say, hey, I want to go viral, and knocked on a lady door that was racist and she recorded me. I was really doing my job that I really love to do. You feel me? Because I eat, sleep, and drink it. And years later, look, the whole world love me. You feel me? I got people that, like, real A-list celebrities don't even want to say their name, but they be like, bro, you inspire me. And I'm looking like, damn. I remember when I first met Chief Keef, he was like, bro, you know why I mess with you? He was like, because you make killers laugh. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at, like, that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? This person that I looked up, when I just got FaceTime with Meek Mills, I just told him, like, bro, I was down there about to cry because I'm like, bro, you was a big inspiration part of when I was homeless going door to door, listening to Dreams of Nightmare. Now I'm on FaceTime with you. You know what I'm saying?
No,
that shit don't happen every day. You feel me? To be in these rooms with these people, just for me loving my job. Bro, I was just at the BET Awards. 2 Chainz reached out like, bro, I'm going to put you on my video. On my set. Bro, I remember we used to hit the TV to fucking make the TV come on to watch the BET Awards. I'm right here front row watching the BET, a little kid from Detroit, Michigan, that just believed in himself because his grandma saw so many that the world didn't see. Now the world's starting to see it. You feel me?
And that's motivational because you never know. It's crazy how, like, something that may seem like a negative is a positive. Like, Boosie's saying that, right?
Yeah.
That could discourage somebody, make them want to quit and not do nothing
else.
Boosie,
I understand him. He a big, he got a lot of
but
kids,
I'm saying, but even,
bro.
But that video,
see, people, that's because that's on the outside looking out. And that really made me grind even more. I said, yes. That's why everybody that, like, look, like I just told you with the Detroit rappers, bro. You feel me? I'm going to all of these. I'm like, boom, let me do a video. Because I'm a hustler, bro. I ain't trying to do it for no money. This is what I love to do. I love making content because this is me. This is me. You feel me? And it was like, I understand you busy. I understand this, that. But little baby looked at it like, bro, why you ain't asking me? I'm a fan. And did the video in front of all of them. You feel me?
Yeah.
I didn't get discouraged and get mad at them. Like, oh, I don't mess with y'all. You know what I'm saying? I still do a video. But at the moment, I was like upset because I'm like, damn, this is my city. We supposed to put each other on. We supposed to help each other out. Like, you feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I ain't get discouraged. To be like, I don't mess with them. I still didn't download everybody album that was out there that day. You feel me?
Yeah.
Still rock with their music. Still support them because I'm one within, and I know my purpose on this earth. You feel me? And I know that I got millions of people that smile every day and can look up to me and be like, you know what? If he can make it, I can make it. If he made it out the hood, well, you don't got to go shoot nobody. You ain't got to rob nobody. You ain't got to steal. You ain't got to kill. You ain't got to sin. And you out here chasing your dream. I could do the same thing. You feel me?
Thanks.
And it's all from social media. So that's why social media be like the gift and the curse. But most of my content I'm putting out, I'm trying to inspire that little kid that just lost their mama. That probably don't want to live today.
I'm trying to inspire that little kid that, you know what I'm saying, that he don't got, he in a shelter right now. You feel me? Mm-hmm. And he hopeful. He hopeless. You know what I'm saying? He don't know what his next meal going to be. You feel me? Because I was one of them kids. I was one of them kids that didn't know how my next meal. And my mama, she worked her butt off. She worked she worked 8 days a week, had two jobs, provided everything for us. But when we was younger, we wanted to get certain food. We wanted McDonald's every day, a Burger King every day. My mama couldn't afford it. We wanted Jordans. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, we grew up, like, we used to get clothes from a Goodfella box. You know what I'm saying? People don't know about Focus Hope food. You know what I'm saying? You making peanut butter and a bread tearing up. You feel me? We eating beef stew every day and fucking salmon. Correct. Like, people don't know about that. My kids don't know about that struggle. You feel me? Mm. We used to go to schools just to get free lunch because we couldn't eat in the morning. Yeah, we'd go to church. Nigga, I play hockey. One of my favorite sayings is that, you know why black people don't play hockey? Because we already skating on thin ice. I used to go to ice hockey in Detroit just to get free lunch, my nigga.
No, that's a fact. That's crazy. That's crazy. So wait, I want to ask you this. Hold up. So you post the Boosie thing, that go crazy. Rich Homie Quan reach out to you. Like,
yeah, the next day. I swear to God, if I show you the DM, now I'm down there about to cry, bro, because it's like that, like when he, like, that's what I say, when he passed, he was like a real dude, because like, he reached out and he was like, bro, I mess with your videos. And like, I seen him. It's like, I drove straight to Atlanta. I swear to God, like when somebody, and I met him at Lenox Mall. We was at Lenox Mall and we chopped it up. And then he sent me his location. And then I pulled up on him and we chopped it up for like an hour, 2 hours before we even did a video. He's like, bro, I mess with your videos. And we just was chopping it up. You feel me? I met his brother, Dre, and we just was talking. Then after that, we did the video. But everybody else I did a video with, I ain't do that with them. We just did a video. It was one and done. Boom. You know what I'm saying? If I bump into you again, that's a blessing. But if not, we just did a video. It was like business. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like with certain. But he was like the first person that reached out. And I was like, damn, that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? Because even when that happened, I was getting like, they was talking crazy. Like, man, you know what I'm saying? They was tripping. But with Boosie, people weren't tripping. Boosie wouldn't even trip. I just seen them at Rick Ross and he even stopped the car and his people. They was like, that go to do right. And he smiled at me like, you know what I'm saying? So I could tell he was like, you know what I'm saying? Now he like. And it's like, I'm telling you, I know for sure without a shadow of a doubt, he probably saw me more because that's how my mindset was. I was like, watch, I'm about to make him see me every day after this. He going to see me so much. The next time he see me, he going to probably feel bad that he ain't even do a video with me. You know what I mean? Because that's how I look at it. One thing my mentor taught me, and shout out to Donald Davis, he taught me the best revenge is master success. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
So that I don't even get mad.
So when you posted it, that went viral, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I posted it because his team told me to post it. And that jump went crazy. Yeah. Everywhere, World Star, everybody posted it.
So Rich Homie Quan, like, yo, he hit you, he felt bad or he just, because it's,
I don't know, he just saw the video and he was like, bro, he told me, he was like, bro, he was like, I love your content. I've been watching you for a minute. He was like, he asked, like, was that real? I was like, yeah. And he was like, man, that's crazy. He's like, man, he was like, man, I want to do a video. I'm a fan. He was like, I ain't gonna do that though. He was like, but let's do one. You feel me? And then we did it and it went crazy.
It went crazy.
It hit like 3 million in like a week. You feel me? Then World Star, everybody posted that. It went super crazy.
What the hell? Just you selling them?
Yeah, I just went to his house and then I pitched him and then, yeah, it went crazy.
Sheesh. It's crazy how, that's one thing, and I know we hear this a lot, but I really wish Rich Homie Quan could have got his flowers while he was here.
Yeah, man, because I swear to God, that's another person, man. I was rocking with him. Bro, it's a lot of people that I was listening to through my journey of struggling, going door to door, like being homeless, like, and I cope with his music, you know what I'm saying? Differences to, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of songs that I listened to that got me back on point. Like, one of my top was like Lifestyle, you feel me? Mm-hmm. Like, that was some inspirational songs to let you know, like, bro, you can make it, you can change your family life, you know what I'm saying? He mm-hmm. did it, you feel me?
Yeah.
So then when I saw he had a big family too, and he was a family person, I'm like, see, you know what I'm saying? And he was a gifted dude, you feel me? Mm. People were like, you know what I'm saying? He was like one of my like favorites, like back in the 2009s and 10s, 11s. Mm-hmm. When I went viral 2010, that's when him and Thug, they was going crazy, you feel me? The Rich Gang, they was going, and then he came out with Type of Way, like they was going crazy. They had it on lock for like a couple summers, you know what I'm saying?
Nah, facts.
But like, yeah, that's still Reloaded. Like that whole album, I was bumping that like every day, you feel me? Mm.
It seemed like it's crazy. You might, I don't want to say you might not agree, but it's like all of the two times that was probably like the most treacherous or biggest downfalls in your career was the things that got you lit the most. One, the racist lady that put you on YouTube. Yeah, she made a lot of money. But you even said, like, you went from doing a couple sales a day to a lot of sales, right?
Yeah, tripling up, man. It was crazy. Yeah, 10X and, like, that turned you up.
The Tom Boosie told you no.
Yeah.
That turned you up.
Yeah.
So it's like every single time that something that seemed bad happened was really the spark in the next level of your career.
No, that's a fact.
That's crazy, man. Does that make you look at it differently now when you're going through adversity?
Nah, because, man, I look at life like a game, bro. It's like a game. You got to just play the game of life. You got to play in the game. You're going to take some losses. You're going to take some wins. You feel me? But if you count your blessings, not your troubles, you're going to always be all right. That's the thing. People act like that they ain't going to have bad days. You feel me? You just got to make sure you have more good days than bad days. Mm. But you got to count them bad days, because them bad days going to make you the person you is.
Nah,
you
facts.
Feel me?
Yeah, 100%. So. Yo, you mentioned shortly about how, like, you was trying to do the interviews with the Detroit rappers. And, like, they
not
was
even
like,
interviews. It was just skits.
Like, skits, yeah. Because
that's what I was finna say. Like, with the Boosie situation, even with the Detroit rappers, a couple of them turned me down then. Lil Baby, that's probably my top video right now. That must hit like 50 million. You feel me? That's like my high. But, like Rich Homie Quan, it turned up. Like, you know what I'm saying? He reached out, boom, boom. We hit like 3 million in a week. But the Lil Baby went crazy. You feel me? That hit on my TikTok, it hit like 12, 13 million. You feel me?
Damn.
It's like overall, it hit like 50 million, bro.
So that's what I was going to ask. Like, I know, like you said, you always got this positive mindset, right? You're always confident. But it's something different about home.
Yeah.
Like, That hits different, because like you always want to get love or show love to your hometown.
No, because I do it, bro. You feel me? And I'm looking at like, bro, I be showing like, and I love all my Detroit. I'm even glad like I swear Vezo, he did a video with me. I just ran into Peasy. Shout out Peasy, that's my dog. I did a video with GT. You know what I'm saying? I just ran into Babyface Ray. He's like, come on, we gonna do it. But like the ones that I ran into like on occasion, like the Skilla Baby. You know what I'm saying, the T-Grizzly, you know what I'm saying, the 42. I know they be busy, but I'm looking at like, bro, 5, 10, 20, 30 seconds, bro. You feel me?
We can get this even if one and done.
You feel me? Like, nobody ain't too busy. Man, one thing my mentor told me, he said, if it's worth it, they're going to find a way. Mm-hmm. If it's not worth it, they're going to find an excuse.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So maybe I wasn't worth it to them. You feel me?
Because
You know what I'm saying? It ain't gonna take nothing to be, you know what I'm saying?
No, thanks.
Cause I done seen people busy, bro. I'm talking about, I'm in the studio with Wiz Khalifa, bro. He doing his whole album, bro. And shout out to Chevy Woods. He with Taylor Gang. You feel me? He was a super big fan. He saw, he was like, bro, I sent you Timberland. You know what I'm saying? He was like, bro, I'm gonna get you to do one with Wiz. Set it up and everything. I walked in the studio. Wiz ain't know what was going on. He doing an album.
He still did it.
But he was like, bro, this dude funny. I said a couple jokes. He's like, oh, yeah, let's get it. He's like, and I've been working on my social media. I'm trying to get my junk going crazy, because they are trying to do skits.
Yeah, facts.
You feel me? They already bigger than life, bigger than what Oprah used to be. But they like, we going to play this game, too. I want to see how this content creation work, too. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? I seen Cassinette and fucking, you know what I'm saying, Offset video. And I'm looking at like, bro, I go to, you know what I'm saying, North Dakota, NLE Chopper, shout out to him and Lil Wayne. They hit me up to do a video. I'm looking at like, bro, Lil Wayne, my favorite rapper of all time. If Lil Wayne and NLE Chopper looking for me, why can't my own city do a video when I'm right there? You feel me? This Lil Wayne.
Nah, thanks.
Lil Wayne gonna do a video with me, but I can't get one with 42 Doug.
That you think that
T Grizzly?
You think that was
Skilla Baby?
You think that was probably the one time that it stung the most? Out of your whole career?
I ain't gonna lie, that messed me up. Like, I was like, bro, that's crazy, bro. I ain't gonna lie. Cause I worked super hard, and even my kids saw that. Like, they turned, like, 42 Doug turned my son down, dog. It I had to, like, install all type of more positive stuff in him. Cause, like, he a little 10-year-old kid, bro, that love sales. And he almost got discouraged because, look, like, 42 Doug, like, his favorite rapper, you feel me? He done rapped every song. He done put me up on songs I ain't, like, World on My Shoulder to, like, you know what I'm saying? He know the whole song to pay. I'm like, I went to tell 42 Doug, like, nigga, my son fell in his school because he love your music.
Damn, that's crazy.
He don't even know his, he don't even know what's 8 times 26, but he know Before I Go Broke Like Jock. You know what I'm saying? Mess with that dog life. He know the whole song, but he getting suspended for school because he, you know what I'm saying? Because he want to be cool like you. And you couldn't even do it like, you know what I'm saying? I damn near cried. But I mean, but this is what we got to go through. That's why I make sure, like, I teach my kids, like, look, long as you got a hero like me, you ain't got to worry about nobody else, because, like, you're going to be bigger than life. Just keep going. But I had to start a little bit of more confidence, because it tore them down a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And they ain't nothing away from it, because I, man, that's my dog. You feel me? That's my dude. And I know they be busy. You feel me? But, and then some niggas, they don't like social media too. They like so, but they don't like, they don't want to be put on blast like that. Like I said, Boosie, he ain't want to be put on blast. 42Dud ain't want to get put on, because he did tell me, don't get it twisted. He's like, bro, come on, we going to do a video. He's like, hey, what we going to do? I was like, we going to clean it. And then my kids was so, like, my kids, one thing about me, they don't listen to, like, he said, hold on. Them niggas hungry. You feel me?
Yeah.
Because they really, like me, I'm doing a video because I love social media. They doing a video because they really trying to sell you. This nigga want to go buy him some Jordans. This is what he do. He like, this is a little job. You get what I'm saying? So it broke his little heart. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, like, but if they turned around and tried to do it again, would you do it though? If
do
it?
Like, no, in fact, even we saw 42Dud, he commented on the video like, bro, when you pull up on, he was like, when your son, he was like, I ain't even know that was your son, bro. He was like, have him pull back on me. I'm going to buy 20 bottles. And then when we pulled up on him, that's when I did the skit with Lil Baby. You feel me?
Okay.
My older son was trying to sell him. So, and they, you got to understand, it'd be like the area too. You feel me? Like, it was one time Skillet Baby turned me down. I had my son ask him. I was like, fuck it, he ain't going to tell a kid no. I said, go ask, can we do a video now? Because Polo G had came out to the city and he brought Polo G out. That's one thing. They bring the city out. You feel me? And he was like, man, not right now. But I knew they'd be busy. I seen it was kind of busy. But I'm like, he probably ain't going to turn my son down. But I know they'd be busy. But I looked at it too, like, with, you know what I'm saying, with my manager and my mentor and other people told me. They was like, if it's important, they going to find a way.
Facts.
If it's an excuse, you know what I'm saying? If it ain't important, they going to find an excuse. You know what I'm saying? Because I was just thinking, like, what if Funny Marco was right there? Or what if that was Drewski?
Yeah, they did it. Yeah, for
Desi
sure.
Banks.
100%.
Like, man, you know what I'm saying?
But sometimes you got to take things. I'm going to be real. I don't know about you, but me, sometimes, like, me taking it personal is really my motivation.
Yeah.
Like, it's really fueling
me. Man, I go crazy now, bro. I ain't going to lie. And then I know who backing me. I got Timberland, nigga. He's a mogul.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't diss a... I can call him any day. He going to give me advice. He going to tell me what to do. He mentoring me. He managing me. So I got him on my side. You feel me?
Nah,
like, facts. We was about to do a whole sale. He was about to do a whole tour. You feel me? That we got put on hold right now because we got stuff. He just came off tour with Missy Elliott. I got stuff going on with the TV show with my kids. I got a lot of stuff going on too. So I know who I am and I know what I bring to the table. And I know what's in the future that's ahead for me that people don't even know what's about to happen.
Mm. Nah, man, this is good, man. I appreciate you for pulling up and chopping it up with me, dog, for real.
No, that's a fact.
This is good. This was on some, like, just, like, we didn't even know this was happening. We was outside, you was doing a skit with somebody, and, like, it just, boom. Man, that's crazy, man. I appreciate you for real, bro. I
appreciate you.
Kenny Brooks, funny salesman. I guess for the people that don't, everybody gonna know, but let them know how to follow you. You the big dog now.
Yeah.
You the big dog now.
I'm all over the web like a tarantula, like funny salesman on all platforms.
Yeah, man. I guess you want to, is there anything that you got coming out that you want to let people know before we get out of here, or?
No, I got like a lot of stuff that I can't really even talk about right now. So I guess.
Oh, now you the one. Look, celebrity now.
Yeah, they gonna see it. That it's coming soon. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, man. I appreciate you again, man. Yeah. Kenny Brooks, funny salesman, Mr. J Hill. J Hill Podcast is wrapped. We out.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.